And I have boxes for the Bibles if you want your boxes. Okay. So anyway, I was saying this one young lady was just hurting deeply because a friend of hers that she had been sharing her faith in Jesus Christ with died before he made a confession of faith. And she was really hurting. And I came in the conversation to find out that she had, been used by God to lead other people to the Lord. And I thought, wow, what a heart. And then a gentleman, sergeant, probably 50 years old, who went through a crisis with his wife. And through that, she came to faith, he came to faith in Jesus Christ. God is doing work all over, and I want to thank you for the opportunity to serve our men and women as I got to preach the gospel to over 100 soldiers this past week. So thank you for that opportunity. So I just want to take a moment to pray. And then just to clarify, okay, so I mentioned I'm going to the annual meeting. That was at the strong encouragement of a pastor who's been mentoring me while I've been serving here. Who said, hey, this is really an important thing to be a part of. And so I am thankful for those who continue to mentor me and guide me along, and appreciate your prayers as we want to uphold and keep going in following Jesus Christ as a denomination. So God, as I begin now to share the word, Lord, we bow our heads and we lift up a prayer for Richard Jackson, and we pray that you would bring healing and health to him. Heavenly Father, we lift up what you've called us to as your people, to share the word, to nurture faith in Jesus Christ in others. Lord, we thank you for our partnership in the gospel. Our partnership. Help us to maximize our partnership in bringing and living out and sharing the gospel. So God, help us. Help me preach. Help us hear. Give us ears, Lord, that we might see you and know you. Create faith where there is no faith. Hope where we are hopeless. Bring healing, forgiveness, and confidence in Jesus Christ today. And in your name we pray. Amen. Okay, so I need the kids back up because I'm going to start out with a children's message. Lots of moving parts this morning, and I'm not through yet, okay? We're going to keep moving, but the kids, come on back up here. I know we usually do this after the flags. So kids up through the fifth grade, because there's a couple things. I need you to have participate with me in a little conversation, and then I'm going to have you help me out with doing a little work. All right, we're going to try. All right, so how many of you, come on up here, come on up. How many of you, are you familiar? Look at me. I need everybody to look at me, okay? Okay, I'm talking, all right? We're going to have a conversation. How many of you, raise your hand, have seen the movie The Incredibles? All right, The Incredibles, have you seen that, Gracie? No? All right, I know, and I can have, your dad wants to see it? Okay, well, all right, when he gets some time and he's done working on the house. Okay, so, and out there, you can help out too. The movie The Incredibles. What's that movie about? What's incredible?
A superhero movie.
It's a superhero movie about Ellie.
Superhero.
What kind of superheroes?
Family.
It's a family of superheroes. Who's in the family? How many people are there? There's five people. All right. So there's five people, and they've all got different superpowers. What does the dad do? His strength. He's super strong. How about the mom? She stretches, gets really flexible. How about the boy?
He's fast.
He's super fast. How about the older sister? What's that? She has like this weird force field she can put around her, and she can turn invisible. That's right. And then there's the baby. How about the baby?
He can do something with his eyes, and he can turn into a monster.
Yeah, he's got something that hasn't quite come to...
He can turn into a fire monster, shoot lasers out of his eyes.
Yeah, oh, okay. I never could figure out. You've got that down pretty good. Wouldn't it be cool to have... Wouldn't that be cool if each of you had a superpower? Wouldn't that be amazing? What if you had a super ability, what would you do?
I would have flexibility.
You'd have flexibility. That'd be a good one.
Strength.
Oh, you keep thinking about it. It's a big choice, Alex. Yeah. Harmony. The ability to transform into anything you want. Gracie? To fly. That would be really cool. And Zion?
To teleport.
That'd be pretty cool. Go anywhere you want. Alex, did you think of one? To what? I have a force field. Alia?
To be invisible.
Yeah. All that stuff would be really cool. Well, you know what that movie happens in that movie? At first, is the family... Are they using their superpowers?
Yeah.
No, they're not, right? The dad's trying to be, like, fit in with everybody else. And they want to fit in with all the other people in the world. But what happens? They learn that their superpowers are needed in the world. Then they learn as they go that they need to work together as a family to use their superpowers, because as a family, they're not getting along very well. And they learn how important it is that they need to work together and use all the abilities that they have, right? And it's a pretty cool movie. You know what the Bible tells us? The Bible tells us that God has given each of you talents and gifts. Abilities. You might not be able to be invisible. You might not be able to fly, right? You might not be super strong or super fast or super flexible. Although some moms out there are really super flexible, I bet. God may not have given you that kind of superpower, but God has given you talents and gifts that are incredible. And he wants you to use them. In fact, God has given talents and gifts that are incredible to everybody here today. And what God wants us to do is to learn how to use them and use them together. Because that's a big reason that God made us. And it's a big reason that God brought us together as many different kinds of people in the church. He has super big plans for us. And that's what I'm going to be preaching about today. Like if you watch that movie as you're watching it, it'd be really cool to be in that family. I'm telling you what, you are in a really cool family with a lot of amazing, incredible talents and gifts. And we want to do the best we can to use all those gifts and talents for God. All right. So what I need you to do is I need you to help me. We're going to read the scripture, but we're going to do it a little different today. I'm going to have like 15 different people help us do the scriptures. So Ellie, would you be willing to read? Sure. Okay. And then go out and find one other person. And raise your hand out there if you're willing to be a reader. We need about 15 people. So who would like to be a reader? Caleb, you like to be a reader? Sophia? Okay, now the rest of you, if you would go out and find somebody to come up and be a reader. So go out there, look for raised hands, maybe try to convince some of those parents or grandparents or to come on up and be a reader. So Harmony. You keep one for yourself, all right? No, go find, go see. Just hand it out, Harmony. Okay?
Dad, but I don't know how to read.
And if you don't know how to read, then go find somebody that will read. Okay, so go out there and look for raised hands. And then when you get a sheet of paper, come on up. Come on up here. I need everybody up here. All right, go find somebody. I need everybody up here and all those that can read. Okay, does that make sense? All right, that means come on up and I need everybody to come over here on this side, okay? If you've got a sheet of paper and you're going to read, I want you to congregate over here. So come on, we are being fully participational this morning, if that's a word, in the worship service. I need a microphone. All right. So now what I need you to do, I need you to get in numerical order. Our reading this morning is 1 Corinthians. I think it starts in verse 12. And it goes all the way to verse 27. So if you're number 12, you need to be right here and then fall into line after them, okay? Does that make sense? You're number 18, so find number 17 and get behind number 17. Okay, so go get in line over there. Yep, you are number 12, so you are first. You stand right here, okay? Okay, well, I think we're out, and I've got the last word, okay? So unless somebody wants to give you their paper. I have 27. I'm very last. Okay, how well? So we have number 12 here. Anybody, is there any? That's, I think, where we start. So 12 and then on. Okay, so what I'm going to ask you to do is you read your verse. I'm trying all kinds of stuff out. All right, I would like you to start out, Tyler, and speak into the microphone. And when you're done, you just come over to this side, okay? And as the next person comes, you just keep sliding so that pretty soon we have everybody together. All right, the visual is important in this. Go ahead.
Just as a body through one has many parts, but all its parts form one body, so it's worth Christ.
Okay.
For we were all baptized by one Spirit, so as to form one body, whether Jews or Gentiles, slave or free, and we were all given the one Spirit to drink. Okay.
Even so, the body is not made up of one part, but of many.
Now, if the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being part of the body.
And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being part of the body.
If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be?
But in fact, God has placed the parts of it in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be.
If they were all one part, where would the body be?
As it is, there are many parts, but one body.
The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you, and the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you.
On the contrary, these parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indensible.
Good job. Right here, Sophia. Got it, Gracie?
And the parts that we think are less honorable, we treat with special honor.
But God has put the body together, giving greater honor to the parts that lacked it.
So that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other.
Okay.
If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it.
Okay. Now, you are the body of Christ, and each of you is a part of it. Now, you are the body of Christ, and each of you is a part of it. One way. right? Get the message, right? You guys can go ahead and sit down now. You are the body of Christ, and each of you is a part of it. The title of my sermon today is The Incredibles. I want you to turn to your neighbor and just say this. You are incredible. All right? Turn to your neighbor. All right. Now, we're here in church today, right? I want you to go ahead and look at the front of the sanctuary, all right? And I'm going to ask you a question. You look at the front of the sanctuary, ask you a question. What do we all need? What we are here in church, what do we all, every single one of us, need? We need salvation. What made you think of that, Yvonne? Right. We need salvation. We look at the front of the sanctuary, and what's up there, kids? What's up there? The cross. Why? The cross is there because we need salvation. As you look to your right and to your left, you might think to yourself, well, they're not so incredible. These people around me aren't so incredible. You might look in the mirror and say, well, I'm not that incredible. I need a Savior. We're all guilty of sin, and we need forgiveness. We're all broken in character, and we need to learn to be and love like Jesus. Without him, we can't do it. We all desperately need wisdom and guidance in our life. Without God, we're lost. So that you might think, well, I'm not so incredible. But the good news is that Jesus has come for this primary, to meet this primary need for our salvation. And that without Christ, right, without Christ, we're not so incredible. Even with Christ, we're still flawed and weak and broken. But in Christ, because of what he has done for us, we are forgiven. We are no longer guilty. In Christ, we are being made new. We are new creations. We are clay in the hands of the potter, and he's shaping and guiding us. And in Christ, we are given guidance. As Sarah Ashley read, Jesus, the Lord, is our good shepherd, and he is guiding us. We are no longer lost, but we are found. We are no longer enslaved to sin, but we are set free. We are no longer guilty and condemned, but we are forgiven and justified through what Jesus has done for us. Jesus is our Savior, and that's incredible. We serve the incredible one. We have been touched by he who is incredible. And you know what? When we are in Christ, there is a covering. Let me ask you this morning, have you put your faith in the Savior, Jesus Christ? Every one of us, without exception, is in desperate need of a Savior. We need salvation. And that happens through faith. Through saying, yeah, I do need a Savior. Lord, I ask for your forgiveness. I admit I am lost without you. I admit, Lord, and I just want to ask you to come and be my Savior. And it happens through faith. Just as the Apostle Peter fell at Jesus' knees and said, Lord, get away from me. I'm a sinful man. Jesus looked down at him and he said, I want you to come and follow me. We're following Jesus. It might not be in physical footsteps like the Apostle Peter did, but we follow him in the same way that the Apostle Peter did, out of trusting Jesus. We trust Jesus with our lives. So have you made that step of faith today? Have you put your trust in Jesus? All right? If so, then you are in Christ, and he is yours, and you are his. You are in what the Bible calls in Christ. That's an amazing thing. That's an incredible thing. And the Bible teaches that God has given all of us gifts. Okay? God has given all of us gifts. I have a gift here. All right? So, let's see. I can pick on. I can get Elsbeth, maybe? All right? So, I've got a superhero gift bag here. I want you to imagine that if Jesus were to give you a gift, right, like this, what would you do with it, Elsbeth?
I'd take it.
You would take it. You would. You'd be like, awesome. Would it make any difference to you that Jesus was giving the gift? Yeah. Now, what would you expect of this gift? Caleb, if Jesus was to give you a present, what would you expect to be the present to be like? Yeah, that's good. That's a good answer. You'd expect it to be a blessing, right? Right? You wouldn't expect to reach into the bag and pull up something like this, right? Right? You would expect it to be an awesome gift, right? Now, what if you were to get a gift from Jesus and you'd say, oh, look at the nice bag, okay? And you were to put it in the closet, never play with it, never do anything with it. And Jesus would ask you, well, how come you're not doing anything with my gift? That'd be kind of weird, right? Like, what would that be like, right? That we all love gifts, and we love to open them, to use them, and to play with them. And we're being given, that Bible teaches, we have been given gifts by the greatest giver of all, by the most wise giver that we could imagine, Jesus Christ. He has given us gifts. You know, I want to point out some things, though, that happen. You know, the truth that we want to establish here, first of all, that the Bible teaches that all of us have been given gifts. Every single one of us has been shaped because God is a master craftsman. God is a skilled artisan, right? The first truth that we encounter when we open the pages of Scripture is that God is, and He is the Creator. Again and again and again, reference is made to God as our Maker. That means that God, and what God has made, He has purposes and plans for. Our biggest problems sometimes is not that we think too much of ourselves, but we don't think enough. Let me explain that. We did a study on Romans 12 a couple years ago, and it tells us in Romans 12, it starts out by saying that we ought to not conform to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of our minds. And then it says, so that we might know God's will. And then it says to us, consider yourself with sober judgment. Now, what that means in Romans 12 is it means think of yourself the way God thinks of you, not the way the people around you are telling you, not what the world around you is telling you, that you're this or that, or, you know, not smart or you're super smart. You want to be in touch with what God thinks about you. Faith in Christ means seeing things differently. It means seeing things the way they really are, the way God intends them to be. And so we have to consider who God has made us, what gifts and talents He's given us. I want to name some things that keep us from using the good gifts that God has given us. Number one, this is one thing that keeps us from using the gifts God has given us is comparison. It is very natural. And when I say the word natural, I use that word in the most theological sense we can use it. The natural man is the man without the Spirit. God's Spirit is not in him. The natural man thinks of himself not with God in mind. And so it is natural for us to look to our right, to our left, compare ourselves with other people. And sometimes in comparing, we set ourselves as better than others. And other times, and very often in comparing ourselves to others, we put ourselves down. I'm not as smart, I'm not as strong, I'm not this, I'm not that. Or, so we can either get a sense of superiority, or we can be tempted to kind of be secluded. There's lots of problems with comparison. And that's what was happening to a degree in the Corinthian church. They were comparing the kind of giftings they each had. And what the Apostle Paul is saying is, don't compare yourselves with others. Another thing that happens is when we start comparing, we can get very critical. We can start to make value judgments about each other or about ourselves. My gift isn't as good as his, or this gift is better than that gift. And that might not be stated, but it might be something that arises in the context of a culture, of a group. Groups just value one thing over others depending on the kinds of things that bring them together. But when we get critical then of one another, it's exceedingly damaging, because two things can happen. Either kind of a bloated significance or pride in some gifts, and for others, they might go into seclusion, they might stay away from others, they might keep their gifts in the closet and think they're not very important. Being critical, or we might become defensive or domineering. Being critical and judgmental is really damaging within the body of Christ. The third thing that keeps us from using our gifts is just the fact that differences are hard. And this is where we really need to tap into the Spirit. God has created and gifted people all differently, amazingly differently. The Bible has a list of spiritual gifts: words of wisdom, words of knowledge, faith, gifts of healing, miracles, prophecy, distinguishing between spirits, tongues, administration, leadership, exhortation, giving, mercy, service, teaching, apostle, evangelist, pastor, hospitality, and there are even more gifts listed in the Bible. The gift of creativity and the ability to make beautiful things. Just to name a few, those are just the different kinds of gifts there are. Then there's the different kinds of talents. Then there's the different kinds of, in God's craftsmanship, they're just simply the different color that we are as people: red, yellow, black, and white. There's ethnicity. There's personality. God has created introverts and extroverts, thinkers and feelers, spontaneous and planned out people, practical people and creative people. That's just a few of the differences. And in the problem is, we so often naturally, again, I'm using the most theological sense for naturally, there I can. We naturally move towards people who have the same quality as ourselves. Think about it. Even churches are often grouped according to sameness. Same skin color, same educational background, same ethnicity, even the same personalities. There are churches of creative people, churches of orderly people, churches of introverts, and churches primarily of extroverts. And that's a natural thing for us to do. It's so easy for us to see, perhaps in junior high students, we're blind to our own attraction to sameness. Because the fact of the matter is, different is difficult. Different is difficult for a wide variety of reasons. Perhaps it's threatening. Perhaps it's scary. Perhaps it's weird. And it just is challenging to get to be connected with different types of people. But here's the thing. I got this loud and clear when a couple years ago we read through the New Testament, and we did it, you know, we started with the Gospel of Luke, and then we went to Acts, and Luke was a partner of the Apostle Paul's, and so then we read all the Pauline letters and epistle in the order that he read. And what screamed through loud and clear again and again and again is that God's goal is to bring all kinds of different people together in the church, into the kingdom of God. And God has a heart for differences. He has a plan and a goal for the incredible rich diversity of the world, because God is a creative craftsman. So we need, as a church, to embrace different, to build up other people's gifts, to value, and the value that we have as we look at our young people, as we consider one another, the Bible's really clear that those things that others think are lesser, we value and treasure. There's got to be an embracing of all the different gifts that there are. I want to introduce another word, though, when we talk about this subject, because I recognize I'm broadening this out in the most broad application I can. I want to talk about the word talent. The word talent is an English word, and it's very interesting. The derivation of the English word talent comes straight from the Bible. It doesn't come from German, doesn't come from Latin or any other sources. It comes straight out of the Bible. The parable of the talents, we did that for the kingdom assignment. The parable of the talents was the parable where the master, Jesus said, gave different numbers of talents to three different servants. A talent in the Bible, the word means a measure of money. The easiest way to kind of grasp onto what that means is, like, we call $1,000 $1,000, right? We have this kind of nickname in America. We call $10,000 and would be $10,000. Well, that's approximately what the word talent means in the Bible. One of the servants got 5 talents, another servant got 2 talents, another 1 talent. And we know if you haven't read that parable, you know that the goal is, the message of that is that God wants us to use our talents in his servants, in his service. The servant that buried his talent, was the one that got in trouble. Not because he failed, but that he failed to go out and use his talent. And so the early English readers of the Bible, when they interpreted this parable, they understood talents to mean the abilities and skills that God has given to each one of us. And they took that word talent and they gave it the meaning we have in English. And I think that's super appropriate, because we are all fashioned by the master craftsman. We have been created and recreated by God. Our rebirth spiritually into the kingdom of God. The Bible's abundantly clear that God, in doing that, has reclaimed us for all of his purposes, and he delights in who he makes us to be, and his craftsmanship is ongoing in each one of us. In the church, we are to value the gifts and talents of one another. If we do this, right? If we do this, incredible things happen. There is a diversity of gifts and talents from person to person and from generation to generation. All are to be valued and treasured and respected and esteemed and used. God is delighted in difference. We are to be a fellowship of difference. There is a richness and power and beauty in this room today, right? Look around to your left and right. You look in the mirror, it doesn't look like rich power and beauty to me, but it does to God. We got to stop looking natural with the natural eyes. We got to see with God's eyes. Yes, we're sinners in need of a Savior. Yes, we're broken people, but we are people in the hands of a loving God who's shaping us and forming us, and he's calling us into the most significant thing imaginable, and that is to be partners in the gospel. This past week for my devotions as a part of my morning, I just listened to the book of Philippians over and over and over again. If the one thing screams loud and clear as that Paul has this just a blazing heart and a vision for unity in the church at Philippi and the body of Christ, because we have been called into partnership in the gospel, that we are to think of one another more highly than ourselves, that we are to work together in bringing and living out the good news. God has created us and called us and refashioning us to be a blessing to one another and to be a blessing to the world around us. So I want to close with these words. The Apostle Paul wrote a letter to a young pastor named Timothy, and he said essentially, I know the faith that's in you, Timothy. I know what your mother and your grandmother passed on to you. And then he writes, fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For the Spirit of God that he gave us does not make us timid, but gives us power, love, and self-discipline. Imagine being Timothy and receiving that letter from Paul. Imagine hearing these words. Timothy, fan into flame the gift of God. I know it's in you. Build it up, strengthen it, use it, go for it. For God has not given you a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of self-discipline. Amen? So we're going to do that. We're going to be a blessing to each other right now. All right? So I need everybody to pair up. All right? Find one other person. Could be your spouse, doesn't have to be. Not going to make you do anything uncomfortable except look in each other's eyes, okay? Right? So find somebody to pair up with, Zion, you, and I'm going to go with my wife and you guys, okay? So one person decide, the person that is older is going to go first, okay? Whoever's older is going to go first. Look into that person's eyes and say, fan into flame the gift that God has given you. He has not given you a spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and of a sound mind. All right, now we're going to return the favor. So go ahead. I have to say it twice. It just doesn't work with Clarissa, right? So fan into flame the gift that God has given you. For he has not given you a spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and of a sound mind. All right. All right. So if God has touched your heart this morning, let's all bow our heads and pray. If God has touched your heart this morning, just lay it all before God. If you felt like you're insignificant, that you have nothing to offer, if you have felt overconfident in your gift, if you've felt on the outside, know that God has a purpose and plan for you. Maybe if you heard the word this morning and you've never given your heart to Jesus Christ, that you've never made the decision to follow him, a good and loving Savior. I want you to imagine that scene in the boat when Peter fell to Jesus' knees and said, God, get away from me. I'm a sinful man. And Jesus said, follow me. That's what Jesus is saying to you today. Follow me. Lord, we just want to ask that you'd help us receive this word into our hearts for all that you are and for all that you intend it to be, both in us personally and corporately as a church. We commit this to you in Jesus, our Master's most precious name, and everybody said, amen. Turn it up.
Okay, I just want to reiterate what has already been said, just very quickly. If you don't realize that what you just heard is probably the most important message you can hear as an individual, then you missed it. Starting with the gospel message, which Pastor Ryan started with. Usually, you preach a sermon, and then at the end, you give an invitation, the gospel, a call. Pastor Ryan started with it because that's the first and most important thing. Every single person in here, do you know? Have you died? Is your life in Christ? Have you died to yourself and you're living for Christ? You know that you have done that or you haven't. That's the first and most important thing. And the second thing is once you have done that, once you know you are in Christ, you are a new creation, and you have been saved, and you have become a part of the body of Christ for the purpose of strengthening the body. And so, if this was 20 years ago, I would say get the tape and listen to it over and over again. But the message will be online, and so listen to it again. And if, you know, I mean, I cannot, I was sitting back there starting to shake. Like I said, for each of us individually, what you just heard is so vital and so important. And the problem is, just like Paul wrote to Timothy and said, fan into flame the gift that's in you, we forget, we get busy, we get distracted, and life goes on, and then, you know, we don't change. We don't affect change in other people's lives. We don't use our gifts. And so it's got to be a daily thing to die to yourself and to live for Christ and to be aware of it and to look for those opportunities and to pray and seek God with all your heart so that you will be ready to be used and God will use you and the whole body will be strengthened and increased. And we're all working towards that day when Jesus is going to return and we're going to be his bride. And that is going to be the most marvelous and wonderful thing. And so, right now, that's what we're doing. We're preparing for that.